Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chris Schmitz on a phone line. Chris is the person we've been talking about, the co-executive producer of Nova and Dog Tales and Cat Tales. Hi, Chris. You're on WGN. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Now I'm all interested in talking about what it was like when I was in college in Chicago. So, but I guess that topic has passed.
Maybe not. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Northwestern, and I went to graduate school at University of Chicago. I grew up in Deerfield.
I think that having a Spartan college life, you know, like okay food but not great food, kind of a lumpy bed, not a quartz countertop, I think that's a good thing. I don't know what it was like at Northwestern for you, but it wasn't very fancy at Carbondale.
Yeah, no, it was lumpy bed and not very good food. I mean, I loved being in college there, but the creature comforts were not there at all.
And I also see these sort of, what do they call them, snowplow parents, or whatever you call the ones that are pushing all of the things out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
I can see those parents being very proactive about making sure they get the food they want and they need and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was different back in my day.
Hey, so now you're an executive producer at Nova, is that right?
That's right.
Well done, sir. And Dog Tales and Cat Tales, is that something that Nova does regularly, or was this just a couple of one-offs?
No, you know, Nova is a pretty eclectic program. We cover everything from, you know, who built the pyramids to where do black holes come from. So we're kind of all over the place. We do, from time to time, some natural history and animal programs. We have a film coming out later this year called Eagle Power about eagles, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual, but, you know, we kind of mix it up all the time.
I thought that the at least one thing that hooked me into the dog one, and I'm not a cat person, but I thought the cat show was just as fascinating, was, you know, what do they know about you? What's their relationship like with you? Do they like you, or do they just like food?
Yeah.
That drew
that's
a lot of us
question.
In. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the big question. I mean, that just to refer back to that, there was the film depicted an experiment where trainers had taught dogs to that when they saw a red toy, let's say they would expect to get a treat next, and when they saw a blue toy, they would expect to get praise next. And then these dogs were trained to be able to lie still in an MRI, which I think a lot of humans could use that training.
Yeah.
And then they would show them the different toys, and they would measure the blood flow in the brain to try to gauge how powerfully the dog was anticipating the next thing. And they found, to their surprise, that dogs anticipate or look forward to praise as much or even more than food, which I think is kind of mind-blowing. And that sort of indicates that the dogs are really attached to us, and they really want to have that connection.
We were talking about, what does the dog think when you leave? Do they know that you're coming back? One of my listeners sent in and said, dogs have no sense of time. 5 minutes is 5 hours to them. I don't know if you guys know anything about that, but when we leave for the day, Brenda and I will turn to Daisy and say, we'll be back. We're good.
Yeah.
Can you comment on that at all?
Well, we didn't cover that in the film, but I know from my own dogs that they, I don't know if they have a sense of time, but they, something ticks off in them when a time of day comes around that they expect, you know, whether it's food time or somebody coming home time. You know, they may not be tracking time as they go, but clearly for some dogs there's a moment where they suddenly realize, like, oh, it's food time, and who knows what triggers that.
I think that they also just key on certain things, right? So they don't understand English, but if they see Brenda grabbing her purse and me grabbing my coat, I think they kind of know this drill. Some of us think that if we pull a suitcase out, they look really forlorn because however limited that experience is, they know this is going to be something different, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they clearly know words. I mean, Nova did a program several years ago about a dog named Chaser. And Chaser was a dog that had learned over 1,000 words. And the way that that worked was that the trainer would say, you know, unicorn. And the dog would go to a huge pile of stuffed toys and would grab the unicorn and bring it out. So this is an incredibly smart dog. Recently passed away, and they clearly understand that words have meaning. So, you know, I mean, most pet owners know if you say to your dog walk or eat, they get excited, right? They know what that means on some level.
Did you guys say in the Dog Tales Nova special, we're visiting with Chris Schmidt, Northwestern grad, Deerfield kid, is that right?
Yep.
Co-executive producer of the Nova series or shows Dog Tales and Cat Tales. Did you say that dogs are derivative of wolves and that wolves are as smart as our domesticated dogs?
Well, that's what this this group in Austria that had hand-raised wolves alongside of dogs, and then over their lives have put them through various cognitive tests and so forth, and they discovered that wolves are as smarter or smarter than dogs if measured by how well they understand cooperative behavior and things like that. But they're less interested in people than dogs. And to me, one of the most mind-blowing stories in that film was the last one about Callie Truelove, who's a young woman who has a condition called Williams syndrome.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I know this story. I'm so glad you're bringing this up. I wanted to get to it. Let me take a break. Finish that, and then let's go on to cats. Maybe you've got a question or comment, too. 312-981-7200. We're talking to the executive producer of Nova's Dog Tales and Cat Tales on WGN. 1 hour from now, where will you be? 11:46. We'll do our Bright Side segment. You'll call in, tell me some good news in your world while you're smiling. We'll all smile. It'll be a group hug on the radio, and it works every single time. Chris Schmidt is the co-executive producer of Nova's Dog Tales and Cat Tales. Did you see this on Channel 11? Fascinating piece. It's two shows, and we've been talking with him about wolves and dogs. You said that they're equally intelligent, but wolves are less interested in making humans happy or interacting, Chris. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, that's what research in Austria has shown. And there's a fascinating, one of the most fascinating parts of the story to me is that, interestingly, wolves, the dog evolution from wolf seems to have happened several times. And the dogs we know today is only one of those. The other ones have disappeared. But the current dog that we know seems to share something really unusual with people who suffer from a disorder called Williams syndrome in the United States or in the world. And Williams syndrome is basically 30 genes that have been altered. And it leads to some challenges in life. But it also, there are three of those 30 genes that seem to create a behavior pattern in people whereas people who have Williams syndrome are extremely friendly, extremely optimistic, extremely loving, you know, just people to the 10th degree. And it turns out that those same three genes in wolves and dogs have undergone the same change. And this is a very recent discovery, and it suggests that some of dogs' affinity for people may be related to those three genes that were modified from their wolf ancestors.
Wow.
I think that's just amazing.
Isn't it, though? So, I'm sorry, are you suggesting that domesticated dogs have that genetic trait, wolves don't have that genetic
trait? Exactly. Those three genes, the three genes that were identified in the 30 genes that changed with people who have Williams syndrome, and it's right there in dogs.
Well, you all interview this woman, or we see her, and she is walking about her house, and she's so cheerful and happy, and I only mean this in the context in which we're talking now. She's like a happy dog. She's very engaged and cheerful the way your pet might be, but she's this lovely woman.
You just imagine, she talks about how much she loves people. You can see she's extremely warm, she's extremely open.
Yes.
You almost imagine that that's what dogs are thinking, right? Like, I love you, I love people.
Yeah. I think it makes them both a little vulnerable, especially a human version of that. It, in a reverse way, maybe reminds me a little of that Temple Grandin, the woman who was autistic and was able to teach us a lot about how cows think, for instance.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, yes, totally different situation, but I take your point.
So talk about cats then a little bit. You've told us about dogs, and maybe they like us even more than food. They're very bright and engaging. What's the difference from cats and dogs?
Well, it's interesting because the story of domestication of dogs is quite interesting and complex in terms of the number of times. It seems that in the distant past, anytime wolves started to hang around people, a transformation began to happen that was made them more dog-like. And their skulls and so forth from around Europe and Asia from 30 or 40,000 years ago that show this transformation, but that aren't related to modern-day dogs. The cat domestication story, in some sense, is much simpler, and that cats, in fact, have not moved very far away from their wild you know, their wild cat ancestors. And they're, you know, the domestic cat today is related to a cat, a wild cat, a very a kind of a small wild cat that doesn't look very different from today's pets. They have a little bit longer legs and so on. So the cat story is a really simple story in a certain sense, and maybe that's why cats seem sometimes a little bit more aloof or independent than dogs do. They just haven't moved that far off the bench from where they started.
They haven't had to adapt like wolves
right.
did.
Yeah, I think so. And also, cats are solitary hunters. Wolves are pack hunters. So they already have this kind of social glue, you know, that keeps them together, that probably gave them gives them a little bit of an edge when it comes to learning to work with or live with groups of humans.
Chris Schmidt from Nova's on a phone. We're talking about cattails now. But you described a moment ago how dogs maybe like us more than the food we give them. What's cats? Do they love us or do they just love us for the food?
You know, I think the jury's still out on that. There's some indication that they're attached to us as well, but it's not as evident or as strong. And I thought one of the things that was interesting in the Cattails film was a discussion about how we think dogs are so emotionally, we can relate to them emotionally because they make all these great faces, you know, like guilt and sadness and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And cats just don't actually have the muscles in their face
right.
to make those expressions. And so we don't really know what they're thinking.
Think about this. I mean, I thought that was one of the most fascinating things in either episode. And I mentioned this earlier before you came on, Chris. Dogs have the musculature to show more emotion in their eyes and face. Cats don't. So while dogs really might emote a little, we can't know, based on their expression, what a cat is thinking or feeling.
That's exactly right, and I think that kind of leads to that sense that they're so inscrutable, and then there's so many variations in the way cats behave. You know, there are house cats, there are outdoor cats, there are cats that just have all these very different personalities. But at the end of the film, we do show a woman who has actually trained cats to perform in the same way you would expect, like, a trained dog to perform, and she travels around with this show of cats that do, you know, kind of jump through hoops and walk around on rolling balls and things like that, which seems so odd to anybody who encounters cats or knows cats, I think.
I saw that in Chicago, actually.
No kidding, really.
Yeah.
And pretty fun, pretty funny, I guess. Huh?
It's, well, the cats still don't fully engage. They don't still listen to everything they say, but there were a lot of tricks, and they're all motivated by food.
And
well, I can tell you, in filming the two programs, so you'll notice that that in the dog show, you'll see these shots of dogs in a white background and a white studio. And from the director of the film, I can tell you that the cats, doing that with the cats was really hard, that the cats just would not cooperate.
John, if I tell my dog to get a toy by name, like Duck or Girl, she will bring that specific toy. I guess you've seen plenty of evidence of that, that dogs can be that specific. I don't know if cats can be trained or are show that much intelligence.
Well, I don't know. One of the things that's behind that, I think, is that dogs are one of the few animals that can follow the pointing test. So, in other words, if you point at a cup with food under it, the dog will follow where you're pointing and go to what you're pointing at. And that's a very unusual and sophisticated behavior. Even many primates can't make that connection. So there's something about dogs kind of intuiting what we're interested in. And, I mean, good luck pointing at something and having a cat look at it and go towards it. I just say good luck to you.
I'm also interested in you all doing another episode, and I don't know what it'll be called, but the thrust of it will be interspecies interaction, the dog that befriends
right,
a raccoon
right.
or something like that.
Right. We actually had, there was a bit of that in the dog show, but we had to cut for time because we have to, you know, make the film 50 minutes long. But there was a little bit about how dog, and it came out of the story about Callie Truelove and her dog Doodle Dandy, which showed how this same affinity for humans dogs express in affinity towards all kinds of other animals. You know, anybody who has a dog and a cat at home, it's not, once the cat is used to the dog, it's not that unusual to see the dog snuggling up to the cat, or, you know, I think a bird or any number of other animals. So
yeah.
Dogs just seem to really like other living creatures until they want to bite their heads off, you know. But but that's a dog.
But it's also kind of makes me think about that genetic trait they have that makes them very sociable, unlike cats and unlike too many people.
But, you know, on the other hand, like, you know, I had until recently a Jack Russell who lived a ripe old age, and that dog was quite attached to me and my family, but absolutely not willing to let anybody else come near us, you know. So there is still that kind of wolfish attribute in dogs that you can bring out. Sometimes it's really near the surface, but I think most dogs have it in a way that if they're provoked in a way that kind of they don't like, that wild side will come out.
Caller said their dog learned Spanish, or the dog they got speaks Spanish. I guess that makes sense, right?
Yeah, although, you know, you always have to wonder, is it the word? Is it the tone of voice? What are they really? What is that little package that they're taking in?
Yeah,
and you never know. You know, the person who called in, they may be so enthusiastic in speaking Spanish to the dog, the dog's responding to that, and it looks like the dog understands Spanish.
Ask him if dogs can count.
There is some indication that dogs have a number sense, and lots of animals do. But they're actually birds are better at counting than dogs. Interestingly,
I got to go. Chris Schmidt is the co-executive producer of the Nova shows Dog Tales and Cat Tales. I presume they rerun these, right, Chris? I can still see them.
They're streaming. You can watch them on the PBS app, or you can watch them on pbs.org/Nova, our website. They will rerun, but really we want people to watch them through the streaming platforms, and then in that case, they're available all the time.
Congratulations. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, thanks very much.
This is WGN.